Our last case for argument is Kraft v. Astru. Ms. Allo.
May it please the Court. I'm Heather Alloy on behalf of Appellant Roger Kraft. The ALJ's denial of Social Security benefits should be reversed. The facts of this case are a variation on McKinney and Prochaska. Even if the ALJ's other findings on residual functional capacity, RFC, and credibility are undisturbed, the Step 5 determination requires reversal. The vocational expert, or VE, testified that Kraft could perform 15,000 jobs as a hand packager or assembly line worker, and that was a reduced number according to the need to sit, stand, or walk at will. However, when the VE was asked where she got the numbers from, she said she was only reading from notes she took as the judge spoke. That's page 445. The commissioner speculates that the VE must have been referencing printouts from the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, or DOT, but the VE clearly stated that the notes she was referencing included only the ALJ's hypothetical question and never referred to any information regarding the source of job numbers or references. This court held in Donahue and McKinney that vital testimony conjured out of whole cloth cannot be substantial evidence in support of the ALJ's decision. The court also held that the data and reasoning underlying the VE's opinion must be available on demand. The representative demanded them, but they weren't available. Therefore, the commissioner cannot meet his Step 5 burden. The commissioner has asserted that the representative did not ask to verify or challenge the VE's testimony. But the VE already stated that there was no data or reasoning underlying her statements. So what else would the representative have asked for? This case is also similar to Prochaska. Although the ALJ asked the VE if her testimony would comply with the DOT, this inquiry was made before the VE testified that she could not cite any specific job in the DOT for the alleged 15,000 jobs available. There are 103 possible occupations that are included in the broad categories named. It cannot be determined if any of those 103 occupations would in fact permit the individual to sit, stand, or walk at will, or are otherwise inconsistent with the residual functional capacity limitations without having a specific occupation named to compare with the RFC limitations. The commissioner admits that the ALJ failed to comply with the regulation governing the evaluation of mental impairments, the special technique. And the district court also found that the ALJ failed to follow that regulation.
Does the special technique, what steps of the process does it really affect?
The special technique is the basis for the mental RFC determination. However, the special technique only goes through step three. The mental RFC determination is performed between step three and step four. Now, there's no dispute in this case that the ALJ failed to follow the special technique. Other courts have found that alone is reversible.
What is it? I think what Judge Ripple's question is, or my variant of it, what is the special technique add to what she would consider anyway?
The special technique itself doesn't add anything. It has a requirement that the ALJ explain the findings and consider specific evidence, which...
You'd have to do that anyway, right?
Right, and that's...
So what does the special technique add? Why is it special?
It's just requiring that the ALJ consider medical evidence.
But she'd have to do that anyway.
Exactly.
So what does this add to anything?
It's sort of saying that what we're saying is it's admitted that the ALJ made an underlying error, which affected the later mental RFC analysis.
I'm asking you, what does this special technique require that the ALJ wouldn't be required to do anyway?
The special technique requires the ALJ to not only explain how she considered the medical evidence, weigh the medical opinions, but also it requires an assessment of four categories. That's the activities of daily living, social functioning, concentration, persistence, and pace, and decompensation.
How would the failure to follow the special technique influence the construction, if you want, of the hypothetical question which the ALJ posed to the BE?
Well, using a specific example from this case, in order to make the determination in those four areas, the ALJ must consider the medical evidence of record. So, in a sense, has the ALJ distilled the information in the case into the outline of four items. Here, the ALJ skipped the assessment of three medical opinions, two psychiatric opinions and one psychological opinion.
But didn't she discuss his social functioning, concentration, activities of daily living?
She did not discuss all of them.
What did she leave out?
I don't know, but
did
the government
pose those questions?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, you answered Judge Posner first, and then I'll ask you.
No, she did not discuss those items. The government has conceded that, and the district court found that.
Did she include those aspects of the case in the hypothetical she posed to the VE?
No, she included nothing.
So the VE was never really asked squarely.
No, it was
as to what someone with these psychiatric or psychological disabilities, what jobs would be available for someone who had that problem plus his physical problems.
That's correct, Judge Ripple. She, the only allegedly mental limitation that she gave to the VE was simple unskilled. Now, which is really just saying
is that why is that a mental?
It's not. That's a vocational.
It's a vocational. He didn't have the education to adjust to certain jobs in the economy.
Exactly. And, for example, the Young case, Young versus Barnhart, footnote 4, notes that that's not mental. Here there are five specific impairments, three of which were supposedly credited by the ALJ but not included in the hypothetical, and two that weren't even discussed. Here, Kraft had a mood disorder and temperamental problems, so this is, again, similar to Young. The state agency said that he had moderate limitation in attention and concentration.
How is a guy with a mood disorder or a temperamental problem supposed to sit on a line and package stuff hour after hour?
We don't know because that wasn't presented to
the VE.
Exactly.
I see.
Was he present for the hearing? Did he hear the testimony or
the claimant, Your Honor?
The vocational expert.
Yes. However, I believe sometimes the ALJ will say, "Did you consider the evidence presented throughout the hearing?" And sometimes the ALJ will say, "This is limited to the hypothetical question." I believe in this case it was limited to the hypothetical question. The ALJ did not ask for consideration for the record as a whole. So it was limited to the hypothetical, and the hypothetical only included a limitation to unskilled. And the problem, as I mentioned, is there's no explanation from the ALJ how the unskilled limitation encompasses these five moderate limitations, which were noted by the commissioner's own experts, again, two psychiatrists and one psychologist. In addition, the ALJ failed to explain what her treatment of Dr. Frey's opinion, who noted that Kraft's mental functioning was reduced 80 to 90%. It's unclear how an individual can even do unskilled work with 10 to 20% mental function, and the ALJ never addressed this information. In addition, as the district court has noted, the ALJ's credibility determination was also flawed, in addition to the mental RFC determination. Therefore, we ask that this court reverse the ALJ's decision and remand this case for further proceedings. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Salem. Mr. Christo?
May it please the Court, Edward Christoff on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. The ALJ in this case did not perform the special technique required by the Commissioner's regulations in cases involving mental impairments. However, any error in that regard is harmless in this particular case because the purpose of the special technique was fulfilled in this ALJ's decision.
What about this strange statement by Dr. Frey? His mental functioning has been reduced 80 to 90%.
It is indeed a very strange statement, Judge, and the limitations, the specific functional limitations that he suggests later on in his opinion, don't comport with that 80 to 90%. And in fact, Dr. Frey attributed his problems to stress over his financial condition and over his diabetes, and that really strays from his area of expertise as a mental health professional.
Why?
Because it's taking at face value the claimant's statements regarding the nature and extent.
A psychiatric diagnosis is based on talking to the patient, and it's perfectly natural for the psychiatrist to draw an inference that what's bothering this person is financial and health concerns. What's wrong with that?
But to suggest that he's 80 to 90% limited because of financial stress, and then to say that he has mild to moderate limitations in specific work-related functioning, those things don't flow together.
Well, what did the ALJ say about that?
Well, the ALJ's decision is not well articulated regarding Dr. Frey, but...
What do you mean, not well articulated? I didn't mention that at all.
That government speak for saying that she simply didn't pursue the matter and didn't make the adequate conclusions with respect to it.
That would be fair, Judge. But the special technique is intended to make sure that in each case a claimant's mental impairments are considered at step.
Shouldn't the vocational expert have been aware that he had some psychiatric problems, maybe not very serious, but but that would compound his physical problems?
Well, and in this case, our argument is that the ALJ incorporated those limitations into that statement that he was restricted to simple...
No, but what did she tell the vocational expert?
In the hypothetical, the administrative law judge told the vocational expert that the claimant was limited to simple and unskilled work.
But that's separate from a mental problem, isn't it?
Well, in this case, this claimant's particular psychological problems were accommodated by that restriction to simple and unskilled work. This gentleman had...
Well, you wouldn't want to say, I don't understand you. What? I don't understand. Wouldn't the vocational expert understand simple and unskilled to mean... To be a reference to, don't simple and unskilled mean the same thing?
Well,
what's the difference?
I would suggest that there is within the range of unskilled work, there may be that which tends toward more complex.
Right. Wouldn't the vocational expert give better testimony, more informed testimony, if he told a little more than that this person can only do? So all the ALJ was doing was asking the vocational expert how many simple and unskilled jobs are there in, you know, Midwest or Chicago region or something. He says 15,000.
Well, it was the ALJ's job and not the vocational expert's job to consider all of that medical evidence and to decide what limitations were caused by the impairments in this case. And the ALJ, in her role, decided that his mental impairments were accommodated by simply restricting him.
And one of the issues we have to look at is whether or not that was adequate and sufficient. And, you know, when I read your brief, I could see this person sitting there, a person the VE's picturing in her mind, a person sitting there hour after hour packaging things or doing one particular thing, function on an assembly line, but she doesn't know that this person is subject to tantrums, has psychiatric problems that make attention to a task very difficult for them. The ALJ never told her that.
Well,
so didn't the VE get blindsided here?
Well, I think your question, Your Honor, assumes that the ALJ accepted that these tantrums that he was claiming to have and had reported to the psychologist or psychiatrist, that he'd accepted those as credible.
See, but we never know. We don't know what she accepted and didn't accept because she never told anybody, including the VE.
Well, she wouldn't tell the VE anything except the actual things that she had accepted. So we know from her question what it is she accepted.
I'm lost. You think that by using the term simple unskilled, that means she had rejected all the psychiatric evidence?
Not at all. She did not reject all the psychiatric evidence. She found that Mr. Kraft had a severe mental impairment, that he had dysthymia.
He has a severe mental impairment. How does he do simple unskilled work?
Because simple unskilled work, in this case, restricted him from doing the type of tasks that the reviewing, examining, and consulting mental health professionals thought would be too difficult for him. They specifically referred to complicated situations as being beyond his abilities. And so when the ALJ restricted him to simple unskilled work, that's what was being accommodated.
But I would think, picking up on what Judge Ripper was saying, if by simple and unskilled one means repetitive factory work, surely you have to be able to concentrate, and right? I would think it would be more difficult in many ways to do this simple unskilled work than to do, you know, do something where you have breaks and you get up and you wander around and so on. But sitting chained to a bench, filling packages all day long, if you can't concentrate and if your mind wanders, you do a terrible job.
But the commissioner's regulations and rulings contain specific explanations as to what is meant by unskilled work. And it refers to work that requires very little judgment whatsoever. It's simple work.
It doesn't require judgment. What about concentration?
Well, if the work is simple, less concentration is required.
That's not obvious. I mean, suppose you have, you know, boxes are coming by on a conveyor belt or something, you're supposed to put something in it. Well, you have to concentrate on what you're doing, otherwise you'll miss some. There'll be empty boxes coming out at the other end.
But if you are paying attention to a one- or two-step task...
Yeah, but you have to pay attention to it hour on end. And if your mind keeps wandering, you're not going to fill the box.
And our argument would be that this record didn't show that this gentleman's mind...
Well, somebody said, I mean, Dr. Fry, or Dr. Frey, however he pronounces, he says 80-90% mental impairment. You'd think that would be a flag of some sort. Now, it may be, as you say, it's inconsistent with his conclusions. Well, that's something you'd expect her to discuss. She has a little paragraph on Dr. Fry, but she doesn't mention the contradiction.
No, she does not, Your Honor. The court should find that the ALJ's decision, though not perfect, was adequate. That the ALJ provided sort of those breadcrumbs that the court can follow to see what she was thinking and what her reasoning was in this case. The ALJ made a couple of mistakes. She made a mistake in not following the B criteria. She unfortunately misstated that this gentleman hadn't had treatment at all for a more than 3-year period, when in fact he did go to see one doctor. But the reality of that situation is that that doctor made no substantive findings, and in fact the words unknown and none are the most common words on that single page from the doctor's report. So we have all these technical errors that were made by the ALJ in some instances, but the case taken as a whole, and that's how this court has said it will take these cases, this case taken as a whole and this decision taken as a whole provides this court with enough assurances that this ALJ considered the important evidence in this record, and that she engaged in a reasonable analysis of this gentleman's physical and mental limitations. And the vocational expert's testimony, despite plaintiff's arguments to the contrary, was not confused, it was not unclear, and it was not contested. The vocational expert answered the questions that were posed to her, and her responses provide substantial evidence for the ALJ's decision.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kristoff. Ms. Alo, how much time does she have? 2 minutes?
Okay.
Although, the, as was noted, the government's explanation about Dr. Fry was post hoc rationale, even if just Dr. Tomasetti, the state agency physician, and Dr. Ding's limitations are considered, it's inconsistent with the ability to do even unskilled work. SSR 96-9P states that a limited ability to respond appropriately with coworkers or deal with changes in a routine setting may affect the ability to perform unskilled work and should be presented to a vocational expert. That's exactly the limitations found by the state agency, which the ALJ credited and didn't include in the hypothetical, and by Dr. Dang, which were just really not addressed. So here there's a link between the limitations found by the commissioner's own experts and the inability to do unskilled work. On pages 41 to 42, the ALJ limits the VE to the hypothetical question being asked, does not ask the VE to consider the record. And also I wanted to address simple and unskilled are the same thing. Unskilled is SVP level in the DOT. Whether the job is routine, repetitive, or things like that, making it simpler, the simpler part of unskilled is the R level. Within the 103 occupations cited, there could be things that are more complex. So as in Allard, the errors here did add up, and we ask that the court reverse the ALJ's decision and remand. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Aylow and Mr. Kristoff, and the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.